your care. Lord, we love them and we want to care for them, but they need your care. And we just pray that you would open the doors for the future for them, show them your paths, and that you would be gracious and bless them, bring bounty into their lives and fruitfulness. Lord, we know that whatever you have for them, it's going to be good. We believe that. We want to be there with them. We want to support them. We want to be part of your will and just part of your blessing for them. Thank you that they're a blessing to so many other people. We're grateful for them, Lord. It's a privilege for us to name them as our friends. Thank you for this. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, I'll look you up.
You got big ears. We need that.
Big hooks to hang on.
Yeah, big hooks. All
right. My father's side. You know, it's not very often that you get to speak truths that are positive, especially as we came back to the States. One thing that you can say is that you are changing the world. If you're part of supporting this body, and this body is reaching out to the community, it's reaching out around the world, and has sent teams to support us, you can honestly say, when people are complaining and they're saying stuff that are true about either economy or whatever, they are truths, but they are negative things that are not bringing about any type of solution. They're not bringing about any type of hope. So you can just fire back a truth. You can say, well, actually, I'm a part of a group of people that are helping change the world. You see, yeah, there's this one group we're supporting. Every year, they've helped more people. Every year, they've raised more money. Every year, they have sought out and reached more people and gave more Bibles away and are doing a bigger impact every single year they've been out there. For 12 years, we've been in the field, 9 years in the Philippines, and every year, it's increased. Not what we get has increased, but everything that we've been able to give and help has increased. And we can track that. That's a proof. So you can boast on those things. And in a time that you need to boast in what God's doing. And you say, well, people might react. So what? If saying good things, people have a hard time with it, that is their problem.
Amen.
You guys need to boast. At a time that we tripped and fell, I mean, we talk about this race of life, and it is a race. It's a very long race, and in the middle of it, sometimes you fall. That's the thing that we forget. And when our house burned down, I would like to say that I just said, it's just things. It's not an issue. Just 48 years worth of, you know. It really hurt. And what hurt even more is that the neighbors blamed us. And some even said, you came here to help us, but you destroyed our lives. And, you know, when you spend 9 years of feeding people and speaking with them and building their house, and almost all the houses around us, I helped build over half of them. So when ours burned down and theirs burned down, it was like, you know, that porch, that roof, that, you know, and then to be blamed for it and then cursed that they wished that we wouldn't even come. At one point, when we were someplace trying to deal with it, the only thing that I could hold on to was I have one hope, and it's not in people, though I did have my wife and the love of my daughter, but it's not in things, because I didn't go seek a bicycle and go give it a hug, or a toaster didn't come comfort me, you know. No forks were, you know, keeping me warm at night. My hope was in the Lord. That's all I had. And you know what? That was enough. It was the only thing through the soot and the ashes and all the emotional junk and all the pain that was solid, and I could stand on that. And you know what? That's enough. But this is where the body comes in. When you guys were there right away, I mean, I talked to Dan and Beth when the house was still burning down to the ground. And they said, we're on it. And emotional support, physical support, spiritual support. Then they sent Debbie and Mel out, fully equipped, ready to go, did everything and anything. And you guys can boast in that. And because of that, several houses got built. The ministry kept going. God revealed that it wasn't our fault. And the neighbors that were, you know, they were speaking out of hurt. And we realized that. They were hurt, and they were just speaking out of fear and hurt. Doesn't make it hurt any less, but I understood it. And when they found out, they kind of changed their mind and, you know, were sorry what they said, and relationships were restored. And then we began the process of rebuilding their houses, even though it wasn't our fault. There was a transformer. Everything was kind of done, you know, the best you could do for free, and, you know, wiring up with, you know, toothbrushes and baling wire and dental floss. I mean, honestly, it's like, you know,
yeah,
almost just kind of throw the wire up there. It's like, oh, it hooked. We have electricity. That's really close.
It's really
And so the spark had come from that and landed on a roof that was attached to our house. In a squatter village, you kind of just attach houses because you get a free wall. You're like, oh, let's build a house. Oh, we only need three walls. We've got that one right there. And so you just attach to it. You're like, hey, we're, you know, a third home because we already have a wall. So that, what had happened was that roof had caught on fire, which caught our wall on fire. And that was the back room where Patty and the girls were trying to take a nap. And Patty saw the smoke and flames and got the girls out through the smoke and the flames. And nobody died. A few animals did, but the good news was they were pigs that they were gonna roast anyway. So they just took them out of the fire and then put them in a different fire. Sometimes you go get out of the fire to get into a new one. And so they finished cooking the pigs. But you know, as we're restoring and building. When we came back here, we were already scheduled to come back here because our work was coming to a close. You know, the pastor, after building his house, helping redo the church building, getting new sound equipment, helping the youth group, doing outreach, delivering thousands of Bibles, visiting hundreds of churches in the mountains, getting them a vehicle, doing outreach to the neighborhood, starting several Bible studies, and raising up leaders. Then they were starting to take our place, and they kind of realized, they're like, wow, Marco, what you were doing isn't very hard. We can do this, you know? And, you know, we always talk about raising up leaders to take your place, but it's really hard when they take your place. It really is. And it was really difficult to close out. And we thought, okay, here's the finish line, and then this happens. And our instinct was just to leave. And by God's grace and your support and my wife's wisdom, we stayed and finished out strong, really strong. We did more things in that 2 months than we had done, you know, with the help of your congregation, than we had done like in a year. I mean, we really packed a lot of stuff in. And I needed to get a lot of surgeries, so I got some 3 surgeries and shots and injections and rehab, and so we're on a medical sabbatical right now and trying to finish that up. And as we're doing that, we had a group of like 8 people, 10 people that were working, finishing the houses, and we were in contact with them every other day and getting the houses done, and they are all officially done.
Yeah.
Woo. So, we want to show you what that looks like now. And we still have people running the things we started, Subangan, the beach ministry, that your team, Dan, helped me move the soccer goal. I think we've, Dan, didn't we score the first goal
at
Subangan?
We did. It's legend.
Yeah,
really.
I hope we lost the evidence of that.
No, we still got it.
Oh, my gosh. I will deny. So that's still going. We built the house there for the caretakers to oversee, and it's the pastor's wife and her new husband live there, and they oversee it. Huh?
Pastor's
job. Yeah, that would be awkward.
Is that the one?
So our house was the one on the left. It's two-story. That's after it had already fallen. To do, you're just burning fuel going right out the window. It's wasted time. And even though you may be right about all of it, we've been called to pray about issues, not to slay people through issues. And when you complain about government, when you complain, you are supposed to pray as much as you slay. If we were to have a clock up here that ran all the time that you talked about political issues, and we had a clock that showed how much you prayed about political issues, what would it look like? God does deal with politics. He calls us to pray and support. You deal with the issues biblically, you pray for your leaders, and then you support in the areas that are correct, full, wholeheartedly. There, all done. Politics handled. Seriously, each other, we're supposed to look out for the best needs of the other person. What is always best for the other person. That's what we get to do. That's our mail. And when everybody's right, but not doing right, it's like everybody wanting a gift, but no one's willing to give. Well, I'll wave when they wave. I'll apologize when they apologize. I'll say hi when they say hi. I'll scoop forward when they... I'll come forward and kneel when someone else does. Does that sound familiar? It does in my heart. That's what I deal with all the time. And that's what the Lord has said, no, this is what I've called you to do. You keep your eyes fixed on me. I am the author and perfecter of your faith. Not anybody else, what they're doing. You know, if I only had this, everything would change. If I only could get this, everything could change. If they only did this, if this person, you know what? That's everyone else's mail. What is your mail? What is God telling you? What does He call you to? We love excuses. We love them because it's our way out. But you know what? There's not going to be an excuse when you stand before the Lord. Every word that you say will be held accountable. Did you know that? Man, that's so sobering. Every word. We do so many things for the sake of humor. All of that will be held accountable. Doesn't mean you can't have fun. But we're called to honor and bless and encourage and build up one another. And if our humor does not line up with that, then that humor needs to be cut out. We will get to the place we need to be once each person decides. And you say, well, you know what, you're supposed to be nice to me. No, that's not for you to say. What for you to say is, what am I called to do in this situation? And That's the thing that got us through in the fire was, you know what? Even though they hurt us, we're called to forgive them and help build their house. You know how hard it is to help build someone's house who, one, blames you, wishes you didn't come, and is complaining about everything that you build them for free? It was like every other minute I had to go, oh God, I'm so sorry, help me forgive, help me bless them. And then we'd hear, no, they want it bigger. No, they want a better pot. And everything was like, Lord, what are you telling me to do? And that's the position that we need to be in, each one of you. What am I called to do? Get rid of all that other stuff. You want to be free and simplify your life? Get out of everybody's mail. Just throw it away. Throw it away. I don't care what they did. What are you called to do? I don't care what they've said. What are you called to do? That is where the fire will ignite. Because when you are stepping face to face with the Lord and looking at Him and someone else is and those coals touch, and you take a dozen coals and push them together, you're going to get a flame. We want the flame without the coals touching. We want the flame to come to us. You are the flame. Jesus lives in you, and when those coals touch, each person stepping up to what God has called them to do, you be free. Be free to boast in the Lord. Be free to love on people. I don't care if people don't say it. I don't care if they don't wave back. That's not what you're called to do. In Trinidad, we waved for 2 years until someone waved back. And I'm like, what is the issue? Am I dragging a ton of cow poop behind me or something? It's like, why is nobody? And the Lord said, that's not the issue. The issue is you keep loving them. The issue is what God has called us to do. That's where you're going to find your breakthrough, not in anything else. Do you have a pile of excuses? Burn them. Are you reading other people's mail? Throw it away. Where you grow, where you step forward, where you find what God has for you is right now between you and Him. And by God's grace and your help and your blessings, we're standing here today. And I want to thank you for being obedient and praying for us and sending your leaders and sending your support and love. Really, our life has changed because of you. So, blessings on you. Thank you.
Mark is going to stay right here for a minute. And let's see if we could get Doug and Kathy and Steve up here, our elders, if you're around. There we are. And we're going to pray. And we want the rest of the family, Patty and Becca, up here too, because you don't get away. If you know anything about these guys, which most of us do, this is totally a team. I mean, Becca is every bit as much as involved as Mark and Patty, and they work really well together, and they work really well separately. They accomplish so much that it's kind of embarrassing for the rest of us. And my biggest advice to Mark, which he doesn't listen to, is slow down, brother.
Yeah. Yeah.
You don't have to do all that. It's okay. Breathe. But that's the way he's wired, man. So this is what's killing him right now. He's injured, and he can't do a bazillion things at once. So he sits in his bed and does things. He lays down in his bed. He was there building like some desk or something.
You're not helping my case.
Awesome. He's building like a desk for Becca while he's like, I'm in pain, but I can do this in bed. So there might be something wrong with him, other than the physical things. But we love him, and we are grateful for the way that he's wired. And we're going to help him slow down just a little bit to recover, because he needs to. And we're really looking forward to seeing what God does in their lives. These guys, God has his hand on them, all of them. He's got dreams. He's got ideas. And we can help. And we're gonna. Dang it, we're gonna. So let's pray for them. Each one of us elders, just pray, okay?